Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 4th, episode 780. Very funny that you guys tried to make me say I'm from Iowa. This episode, I'm reading ahead now. Thank you very much. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
All set for the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, and they sent on their way to a good beginning. Game on, Dude broke away nicely. Mucho Macho Man is fast as well. Along the inside, the long shot Merino and Fort Larned in the red colors. Four of them lining up on the lead. Declaration of War, a good spot right behind the leaders, and Painters right there down at the rail. Will take charges, only four lengths off the leaders. They've been followed by Plan Tour. Palace Malik is back third last. Been followed then by Flat Out. Flat Out has got to be giving them a good seven-length start, and Last Gunfighter's last. Into the turn they go in the classic. The long shot Merino along the inside. Fort Larned keeps the pressure on second. They're going a solid pace, but not crazy out here. Game on, Dude. Right there, relaxed on the outside as they make it three in a line. Just in behind that, Declaration of War, a good spot at the rail fourth. Now here's Gary Stevens and Mucho Macho Man on the far side. He might have to go four wide, but he's only two off the leaders. Will take charge. Plan Tour. Palace Malice on the far side, four off them. Painter is right there at the rail as well. At the back we have Flat Out, and then a big gap of five to Last Gunfighter. Into the turn they go. Fort Larned goes on with it. Merino's had enough. Game on, Dude, and Mucho Macho Man on the far side. Three in a line now. Fort Larned at the rail. Mucho Macho Man on the far side, and game on, Dude. Mucho Macho Man now takes the lead and kicks for home. Declaration of War threatening to run a big one in the green cap. On the outside, Will Take Charges coming home gamely. At the top of the lane, Mucho Macho Man. Palace Malice, Will Take Charge, Fort Larned. And here comes Declaration of War in the green cap. Mucho Macho Man is full out now. On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. No, it goes Mucho Macho Man. The more they ask, the more he gave. Will Take Charge was right there, as was Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man, the winning owners, Dean and Patty Reed. Congratulations. Elizabeth Banks does have the trophy.
I do. Breeders' Cup champion. Mucho Macho Man.
After last year's narrow defeat, what did this win in the Classic mean today?
Redemption, because Macho Man is a champion. Kathy Retvo is a champion trainer. And Finn Green is the greatest racing manager you could have. I'm thrilled for the fans and for Mucho Macho Man. We're just thrilled.
Your thoughts when Will Take Charge made that late surge?
I really thought he got us, to be honest. It was scary, but Macho hung on. There's no denying him now. He won the Breeders' Cup Classic.
And a great ride by this guy, Gary Stevens. Tom?
So how much did you guys feel like we won? Like we won.
Breeders' Cup Classic, $5 million race on the stage of the world? Are you kidding me? That was amazing. Yeah, I feel like I won.
we we were watching it too, and we weren't sure whether he got beat at the end there or not. But let's rewind just a little bit for our new listeners, because I know looking at the numbers that we have a ton of them. So, you know, they haven't been with us for 2.5 years or longer here. 2.5 years ago, when we started this show, Jamie, Jennifer, and I got together, and we said we want to do some race coverage because we all like racing. And we decided that a certain portion of the show would be devoted to horse racing because we don't do it on any of the other shows. And we were coming up, if you remember right, we were coming up to the Kentucky Derby. We were months out from the Kentucky Derby. And we said we should pick a horse to kind of adopt. And do you remember how we picked Mucho Macho Man all that time ago? I don't remember.
I think they were probably the only people that wrote us back that responded.
Plus, we liked the name. I remember we liked the name. We thought it was fun. And we always pick by name anyway. So we contacted them. Dan and Patty, you heard on the show there, Reeves came on with us. And then ever since then, they've been on, 50 times. And even through their losses and whatever, we always had them back. And we were very loyal to Mucho Macho Man. You can't call us adder, you know, whatever that term is for jumping on the bandwagon.
Bandwagon, yeah.
We certainly didn't. We were there from the beginning through all the losses and victories. And that's why we kind of feel like Mucho Macho Man is a part of our family here at Horses in the Morning. And they will be on, I'm sure. But I think they're busy doing, you know, things like the Today Show and Good Morning America and, you know, like the Tonight Show and stuff. So
here we go. Here we go. They forget all about us already. what a thrilling weekend of racing. Holy cow. I must tell you that I didn't think it could get more exciting than watching Wise Dan. I thought literally that was probably the most exciting race I've ever seen. And then, so I'm actually watching it on my iPhone as I'm walking my cross-country course. And I'm watching it going, oh my God, woo, woo. And of course, no, I'm the only person doing that on the whole cross-country course. And people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, bring your stuff as well. They're like, what? Why? Where? Huh? So I watched Wise Dan, and I got back to my trailer in time to watch the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I just don't think my heart could take much more. Holy moly.
And, you know, there was all the talk about Game On Dude before the race, you know, the favorite and everything. He came in ninth. Do you realize that? He came in ninth in that race. He fell all the way back. Painter wasn't really a player. Palace Malice was in there for a while. Fort Larned, so much for Fort Larned. Mucho Macho Man took care of that little problem from last year. So, you know, We'll Take Charge was the one that came nose to nose. And I'm not too sure Mucho Macho, if there had been another 10 feet to this race, I'm not sure he would have won. But
That's why it's beautiful. That's why we don't talk about stuff like that. Because, oh my gosh, yeah.
And then the other story here, too, you know, we're going to talk about in just a minute. There's so many stories from the weekend and so many stories to all the connections there for Mucho Macho Man. And, of course, we're going to talk about it all because we do feel like we're kind of a little tiny part of it. And it definitely, you know, before the race, I looked at Jennifer and I said, do you think there's any chance Mucho Macho Man can win this with all that talent in there? And she said, well, he could. And there we are. So, but honestly, on Friday, I wasn't too sure we'd be having this conversation this morning.
I mean, how could you even imagine? You know, I mean, just like Dean said in the press conference, you know, he was like, well, I thought I got it, but there is no doubt anymore. Nobody can doubt Mucho Macho Man ever again because he just won the freaking Breeders' Cup Classic. Like, you can't doubt him anymore. He's an absolute champion. Can you believe that? What this is going to do to, not that Dean and Patty probably had financial problems before,
no.
But now this horse is a Breeders' Cup Classic winner. Can you imagine all the places that are going to be beating down their door to have him come stand at stud? Cause he is still a stallion. And he's one of those horses that, you know, when they were loading in the gates, I was looking at my phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, that bay horse is so pretty. I'm like, oh, that's Lucho.
He's huge too, he's a huge horse, he's tall, really is.
it was just impressive, and like you said, nobody can doubt Mucho Macho Man anymore.
Well, we have a busy show planned for you today. We're going to be talking a lot more about the races coming up in the show. We're going to find out how Jamie did over the weekend because she had her own little racing going on there over the weekend at Galway Downs event. And then we have a couple of guests. We have Jackie Axel, I think is how we say her name. She's a retired jockey, and she has a rescue story to tell us about that's a lot of fun. And then Dr. Chang is going to be here from Omega Alpha Equine talking about digestive support, which I, Jamie indicated that she needed a lot of over the weekend for her horse, of course. And then you got an interview from over the weekend, too, that was kind of fun that involves horse boyfriends. So we'll catch up with all of that as the show goes on. But we have some daily winnies to do. I have two of them, actually. My first daily winnie goes out to two of our listeners who were following along with the racing with us, but they just made my day with their comments, and I wanted to acknowledge them. D-Ray Preston posted, "Thank you for your discussions about the Breeders' Cup on Horses in the Morning this week. It made watching the races today more fun." And Ellen Ferranti, who is from New York City, said, "What a race. I absolutely agree. Thank you to Horses in the Morning for all the discussions on the Breeders' Cup. My entire household had so much fun watching, and I shared MMM's story of his birth as you told it." So thank you to all our listeners who I'm sure feel part of this, too, and we're you know, just at the edge of their seats with Mucho Macho Man. And we appreciate you listening, and we're glad that you enjoyed our coverage. You're the reason we do it. So we really appreciate you listening in. I have a second one, Jamie.
Okay.
Let's get it started. I heard from another adopted thing that we have here. We have an adopted racehorse, Mucho Macho Man, and we also have an adopted jockey in training. Her name is Callie. And Callie is now, she's with the Pletcher team. She's in Florida right now, and she wrote to me over the weekend after the races and said, "Please, can I give a daily whinny?" So this is a listener daily whinny out to Johnny Velasquez, who took, if you didn't see it, he took a nasty spill on a horse at the beginning of the day yesterday at the Breeders' Cup, or on Saturday, rather, and had to have his spleen removed. And she said that Johnny really became one of her mentors and has been her biggest mentor in learning the jockey trade, and she really likes Johnny a lot. She was really upset that he was hurt in the race and that he'll be out now till the beginning or even later of 2014. They first had thought he was okay, but then they announced later in the day that he had to have his spleen removed. So we wish Johnny the best. He's been around forever and is one of the greats in racing. So to both Callie and Johnny, we're thinking about you. All right, your turn.
All right, all my girls listening to this show, now it just doesn't get any better than this. I'm just going to keep bouncing around and letting you guys know that my daily winnie goes out to Kathy Ritvo, the first woman in the history of Breeders' Cup Classics to win. The first female trainer. The story just gets better and better. Heart transplant recipient wins the Breeders' Cup Classic and becomes the first woman to do so. Girl power! Yeah!
She's the first transplant recipient to win as well.
She's the first of so many things and just an awesome woman. And we have had her on our show as well, too. Just what a great story and a great woman. And she's so unassuming and she's so tiny and she's just so cute and grabs Mucho Macho Man, the 17 two-hand monster, and like yanking him around. I was like, look at her go. She's awesome. I'd be scared of him.
I have a couple quotes from her. You want to hear them?
She said,
"Selfless people donated their loved ones' organs to give me a second chance and to be in this place. It's hard to come up with words. The calls have been unbelievable. We are very grateful to be here. I'm very blessed to be here. I wouldn't be here without my donor family. Without my family, I wouldn't be here. Without Finn Green, the manager who we've had on the show, managing the horse, I wouldn't be here. Without my team, Nikki Petro, galloping the horse every day, and my assistants and all my help, I wouldn't be here. It's been a team effort." So she is so humble, and when you talk to her, she's so meek and mild. She doesn't seem like a horse trainer at all. Exact opposite, actually.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she's just such an amazing. It's just, she's a breath of fresh air. I think, you know, for horse racing, and couldn't be more excited for her. So, girl power. What?
You know, also this puts Mucho Macho Man in the running to become the horse of the year for older male. Because he won the Awesome Again Stakes, and now he won the Classic.
How awesome would that be?
He definitely has to be a candidate for that. I don't, you know, who else is. There's going to be some competition, but he sort of put the stamp at the end of the season here, and that's going to be in all the, you know, writers' minds for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's had such a great year, and he's definitely a contender. I wonder, because I know that they're talking about trying to get Wise Dan to be Horse of the Year. I wonder if Wise Dan will also be in the category for older male. And if you're going up against that horse, wow. This just doesn't get better company than that.
Well, one of the other things, too, is that, apparently the Reeves have been in conversation with Stallion Farms for the past 18 months, and I'm sure they have, about where Mucho Macho Man's going to go. We're rather hoping he comes down here to Ocala so we can visit him. But they said, should he stay in training, which is a possibility, they have their eye on maybe the $10 million Dubai World Cup. Because they said that's the kind of surf. That's the kind of surface he really likes to run on. So,
that would put him in curling company, Glenn.
Yeah,
money-wise.
That definitely would. But, I mean, why wouldn't you have your eye on that? He's not washed up by any means.
No reason to retire him. Some of the other ones, like some of the horses that didn't do so well, you might start to go, okay, let him go off to stud. Let him be retired. But him, he just won in such a fashion, like him and Wise Dan both, is so similar with the victory. And you just want to go, okay, keep going. I want to keep cheering you on.
Now, you have talked about Wise Dan. I have that race, too. Do you want to hear it again?
Please,
I know you were so excited.
Please play it. I've watched it, like, five times.
Here you go.
Don't
stop. This is for you.
And away they go in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Czar Approval from the outside gate, but Silvermax wants that lead, and Silvermax kicks on down at the rail. They've been joined now by Bright Thought. Obviously, there goes Obviously to turn the pressure on. Silentio's tucked in at the rail.
My horse,
the
Obviously.
The Czar Approval broke well, but now starting to drop back. Alongside of that, no jet lag. Then we come back to Olympic Glory and Wise Dan. They are head and head now. Olympic Glory, Wise Dan at the back of the leading group. They are six off the leader. The pace is fast. Then we come back to Hebe, Fire and Ice, and Christopher Colombo, the early trailer. On to the backstretch they go, and Obviously couldn't be going any quicker for the distance. Obviously out where he likes to be. Leads by 2.5. Silvermax is in second.
Sure.
Bright Thought on the far side, and no jet lag down at the rail. Then comes the Grey Czar Approval in fifth. Silentio's at the rail. Alongside Olympic Glory's traveling nicely now. Olympic Glory's five off them. Wise Dan on the far side. Those two be nose and nose from the opening of the gate. Hebe, Fire and Ice. Christopher Colombo's far back. Coming to the top of the lane. Obviously still the leader. Taken on now by Silvermax. Czar Approval on the outside. Then no jet lag. Wise Dan in the gold on the grandstand side. Let's see. Wise Dan's fully ridden now. He's trying to pick it up. They come for home. Czar Approval strikes the front. Wise Dan on the outside. Silentio, the long shot, running a big one. But Wise Dan. Wise Dan. Silentio down at the rail. Wise Dan. Czar Approval. Silentio. Wise Dan has called on all his class. And Wise Dan has won it. Czar Approval was second, and Silentio finished third, then Silvermax.
Unreal. He was, like, in the back, and it's almost like it's like Zenyatta running. You push a button on their neck, and they just go, okay, and they just run faster than everybody else. It's just absolutely amazing. It was such a great race, down to the wire, and Wise Dan was the victor. Awesome.
Now, there was more to that story, too. There's so many stories this weekend. Of course, Johnny Velasquez, who we talked about earlier, who got hurt early in the day, was on Wise Dan, was supposed to ride Wise Dan that day. So does he get – I guess he loses out on all of that portion of the jockey money. Does he get part of it? How's that work?
He won't get any of it. But Jose Lascano was kind of called up to ride him, who actually has ridden him before. And so it wasn't a total stranger jockey, but – I would imagine that with a crash like that and as much money as they won, they probably want to send something over to him, you know what I mean? But I can't imagine that Johnny Velasquez is not hurting for money. He's a Hall of Fame top jockey.
Well.
He's okay. I'm sure he would have liked part of that $1 million, $2 million race, but he's going to do okay. Jose Lascano probably needs it.
Now, I'm taking a look because you and I had done some guessing on who was going to win what over the weekend, and you picked out a couple of races that we did. And one of them that we did The first one we did was the Distaff. And, of course, the Distaff, you know, we had Royal Delta in it, who we talked about on, last week, and Princess of Stillmar. And, of course, they were both supposed to be up in there at winning this race, and neither one of them performed very well. Royal Delta just didn't have anything. I don't know if you got to watch that race at all, but just didn't fire at all.
I didn't. I didn't watch it. And then when I read the results, I definitely didn't watch it because I didn't want to see. I love that mare so much. She's such a fantastic mare. And she's kind of slowed down as the year's gone along this season. So, she's one of the ones I hope they retire. Like, she has run her butt off and she's changed hands and her owner died and then they sold her at auction and then she went back to the same trainer and she's had such a story year that she's one of the ones that I go, oh, come on, let's give her a break.
Yeah,
and then Princess of Stillmar was your pick and where'd she go?
Last place.
To the back. You want to listen to that one?
Yeah, I have that one here, too, so let's take a listen.
Ready for the start. They're off in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and Mike Smith is sending Royal Delta out of there. Beholder is fast, too, but so, too, are Close Hatches and Authenticity, and they're going to be involved in the pace. And now Stevens takes Beholder back off of it. He's going to sit fourth early. Street Girl is fifth, and Princess of Stillmar's alongside of her as they race for the first turn here. And the leader is Authenticity. So John Velasquez gets her to the front here through the first quarter of a mile, which goes in 22 3/5 seconds. And Royal Delta's 3/4 length behind in second. Beholder is third. Close Hatches is fourth, and she's down on the rail. 3 lengths ahead of Princess of Stillmar, and Longshot Street Girl is last. And they go to the backstretch. Authenticity is the leader, and Royal Delta, the two-time winner, is alongside of her, and she's only a neck back with 5 furlongs to go. A 46 1/2 mile. A solid pace, but they're not flying on this track today. Beholder is third, just to the outside of Royal Delta. Now they're side by side, and Beholder sticks her head into second. Royal Delta is back running in third, and she's lost a little bit of ground to the leaders here, and she's about to be joined on the outside by Close Hatches, and suddenly Royal Delta's fourth on the inside. Princess of Silmar's got 5 lengths to make up, and Street Girl is the trailer. Around the far turn, and Beholder and Gary Stevens have taken the lead on the outside. Authenticity is second, Close Hatches third, and Royal Delta no better than fourth at this point, and they're into the stretch, and Beholder's in front. Close Hatches on the outside has taken second. Authenticity third. Royal Delta won't get there. Neither will Princess of Stillmar. This is all Beholder. Beholder and the comeback kid, Gary Stevens, have won the Breeders' Cup Distaff with authority. Close Hatches was second.
Oh, my God. Larry Kalmus can call a freaking race. And how exciting is it that George Wolf, I mean Gary Stevens, has come back and is winning these Breeders' Cup races? I mean, my gosh, I do. I feel like it's George Wolf out there. I've seen Seabiscuit so many times. And then to have Elizabeth Banks, who was obviously married to, was the wife in Seabiscuit. It was such a great thing. And to see her standing up there with him, I'm like, oh, my God. It's like Seabiscuit all over again. So exciting.
You watch too many movies.
I watch that movie too many. I watch too many horse movies, Glenn.
Yeah, but Gary Stevens, I mean, he came back, took that race, and then took the classic the next day. Not too bad at 50-some years old to put that kind of money in your retirement account. Not too bad at all.
They asked him after the classic whether he was going to be in the booth next year and doing the commentating or if he's going to be on another horse. And I didn't quite understand his answer, but I think he said that he planned on being out on the
yeah,
track. You know,
I got the impression he said, you guys are doing such a great job in the booth, which means don't count on me being back.
Yeah, you don't need me. I'm good here.
Too much
I'm making
fun
a lot of money
this.
Here.
Well, you know, jockeys do that. A lot of jockeys will, you know, be around for a while. They retire for a while, and then they come back. And there's always a story to the comeback. And we have one of those retired jockeys on with us now. Her name is Jackie Axel, and she has an interesting story and a story of a rescue that's near and dear to Jamie and I's heart because, you know, all three of us have rescued horses. So let's get Jackie on the phone and find out her story. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. What a terrific weekend. We just had a blast watching the races this weekend and talking all about them here on the show this morning.
Yeah, it was a great weekend with the breeders.
How old were you when you started jockeying?
18.
Oh, was that right?
Yeah, and then I stopped for a while, then I came back again in 1990, and I was leading rider for a while, and then I ended up having twin girls, so I stopped riding and started selling horses at two-year-old training sales.
Okay, and then you made another comeback then at a little bit older age, didn't you?
Yeah, 16 years later, because I didn't want to ride races while I had the twin girls. Actually, I watched the horse Small Town Run, and I said, that's it, I'm riding him next time. And then I thought, oh, I better check with my girls if they're going to be okay with me being a jockey again. And they were very supportive.
Well, they were teenagers by then, right?
Yeah, they're now they're 16.
Okay. So now, the reason you wanted to come back was because of this one particular horse. Tell us why this horse, and you know, the horse's name was Small Town Man, right?
Correct.
Why this particular horse, and why did this horse make you want to come back?
Yeah, because I've rode a lot of horses, and I've, you know, never got so attached to a horse like Small Town. I walked in the barn, it was my first day in the job, and I just was, like, drawn to him. He just looked, you know, so sweet, and I went in there, and for the first couple of weeks, he didn't have much of a personality, but I broke through that wall, and I asked Marty, now, what's the story behind this horse? He bought him for $2,000 off of St. Louis Arias, which was not taking care of him very well. He's really skinny, had rain rot all over the place, his feet looked bad, and he was running really bad, didn't beat 30 lengths, and I watched Marty run him, and he made a huge improvement with him for low claim in 7,500. But I thought me galloping him would help him get a little bit better. So I got a little dressage background, and then I watched him run from 7,500 to a starter race, and that's the day I wanted to ride him because I didn't think he ran as good as he could run, and I knew the horse had more in him. And I was grooming him and playing with him every day, and he just turned around so fast for me. Just had a different personality. And, you know, he would give me hugs and push me out of the stall to get him peppermints and holler at me every time he seen me. So,
and he's not a
and
small
then I
boy
him,
either, is he? He's what, 17
he's
and a half?
Big. 17.2? He's like one of the biggest thoroughbreds I've ever ridden.
Wow. So you did start to ride him, right?
Yeah. After that race, I said, I'm coming back. And before he even got back to the paddock area, and Marty said, okay. And then I said, oh, my God, I better check with my girls. And I rode him 2 weeks after that. And the stewards actually said, don't fall off. And I thought, well, I'm confident I can do this. You know, it's like riding a bike. And but I borrowed somebody's jockey saddle, and the stirrups were shorter than I ever rode in my life. So then I got a little panicky, and my legs did get really weary the last 16th of a mile, but the horse really took care of me. And, you know, when I asked him to run and he was way back, he just took off, and we just if the race was a little bit longer, we just got through the nose.
Whoa. Are they coming to get you?
What is that?
I'm not sure. Oh, that's not on her end. Jamie, that was you. You're going to have to give us a call back. So sorry about that. That was not on your
end.
Oh,
no.
Okay. That came from my co-host. So this first race back, how'd you do? You're coming from the back.
Yeah, we're coming from the back, and I just asked him to give me a little more. He gave me a little more, and then I said, let's go get him, boy, and he just exploded, and we just missed it by a nose.
Ooh.
If I was a little bit, if my stirrups weren't so short and my legs didn't get rubbery under me, I would have won the race. But we came back next time, and we won an allowance race.
And then you went on to win quite a few, didn't you?
Yeah, we a couple seconds, couple three or four allowances, and he made close to 200,000. And, you know, he was getting to where he was getting a little bored with the game, and he wasn't running as well. So the owners, Nikon Racing and Marty, decided to put him in a claiming race. But they did promise me in the summertime, if he wasn't really performing his best again, they would give him to me. So I was excited about that. And then, unfortunately, he got claimed by some pretty tough trainers. Scott Lake, Guerrera, LeBaron, and they're pretty tough on horses. So I was really concerned. And I called all of them and tried to buy him back. And then he ended up going to lower bottom 5,000. And somebody that used to stable with us claimed him. And they called us after the race because I kept pursuing, trying to get the horse back, and said, well, if you want him, you can have him for half what we claimed him for because he had a bow. And we got him back. Unfortunately, there was a little issue with wire transfer, and they were going to send him to go race somewhere else. But we had proof that we did the wire transfer. We just didn't get there in time, and they gave us a two-day extension. And thank God for Nikon Racing and Marty. You know, they put the money up to get him back. It's great that owners will do that now. You know, today it's a little tough, you know.
Yeah, but that didn't happen 10 years ago like it's happening today. So you have Small Town Man now in your barn?
Yes, I do.
And what
it's amazing. When I went to see him after 6 months, he remembered me, started hollering, and puts his neck around me and squeezes me as hard as he can. And he remembered how to bow because I taught him how to bow because I wanted him to do that after the race. And he remembered how to do that. He just... and pushed me out. It was just like, you know, nothing changed. He just forgave me because I felt like I abandoned him. I'm like, how's he going to feel, you know, after I spent so many hours with him every day.
So congratulations and for being so tenacious in pursuing him, because sometimes that's what it takes, especially in the racing world. But you knew it better than others, and at least you had the contacts to do that and got the horse of your dreams here. What now for him? What are you going to do now?
Me and my daughters have rescued over 20 horses in the past 5 years, and we always find them homes. And with him, we're definitely going to keep him forever. And I'm hoping that we can do some of those OTTB shows with him.
Oh,
and
cool.
Bring awareness to, you know, some rescue and try to rescue some more horses. But he'll be our main horse.
Well, that's terrific.
So,
well, congratulations, and thank you for doing what you do. You know, we're big advocates. Jamie has a couple OTTBs, and we're big advocates in getting them rescued and onto second careers, and it sounds like you are as well. And that's good to see from a jockey's point of view. And, you know, there are a lot of jockeys now who are starting down that road. You know, Frankie Lovato is a good friend of ours. And others who are promoting and really working to get them second homes, and I think that's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's great that there are so many people that do care in this business. Unfortunately, there's a few that don't, but that's like everything, any business.
Yep, that is true. It is like any business. And, you know, those people eventually weed themselves out or they get arrested. So either way, you know, they're gone.
Right.
One way or another, they weed themselves out. Well, what a fantastic story. Thank you, Jackie, for telling us the story of Small Town Man, and congratulations on having him in your barn. Is he going to be an eventer now, a big-name dressage rider, or what?
We're we'll see what he wants to do. My daughters would like to do the jumpers with him, and we like to take him around to the big shows, and, you know, we're going to have Saddle Towels, you know, sponsoring the OTTBs on his side and just show what a, you know, what these X-ray sources can do.
Well, fantastic. I can't wait to see pictures of him winning in the jumping ring then.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Bye.
Well, there's another success story of another horse that probably would have ended up New Holland at some point had somebody not stepped up and had she not been so tenacious in making sure that, you know, that small town man found a home and after an up and down career.
Such a great story, and I actually kind of tried to do the same thing. When I galloped racehorses, I fell in love with one. I mean, her story is way better than mine, but I fell in love with one. His name was Lysander. And about, I don't know, years later, I decided to track him down and found out that called the last known trainer that was listed, called the trainer. And I'm like, hi, this is going to sound weird. I'm just calling to find out what happened to a horse that you used to train. I used to gallop him at Keeneland, and his name was Lysander. And he goes, Sandy? Oh, Sandy? He's like, he lives down the street. He gives riding lessons to little girls. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the greatest story ever. This was the most tenacious colt. This is the one that, like, reared up and came down on top of me. This goes to show you what they do after retirement once they get gelded. They're better when they're gelded, people. So it was just such a great story. Turns out I called this guy on his 80th birthday, asking about Lysander. They ended up sending me pictures from the Winner's Circle, like a couple of the Winner's Circle photos they had. It was just such a cool moment and such a cool story. And the guy that the guy had given them to some girls down the street, it was just great. So they, you know, anytime you want to find out what happened, you can track them down. And it's such a great thing that she's done, taking this horse that she knew she loved and getting him back and promoting off the track thoroughbreds even more. I love it.
Terrific. Well, speaking of thoroughbreds, you had one of yours out over the weekend, and I think you want to talk to Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine about how that went.
Yes. Yes,
and
I will talk to
him. He is here, so we're good to go.
Oh, well, you're already here, Dr. Chang. Good morning.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Where in the world are you today?
Oh, I am at home just getting ready to head off to the airport. And I'm heading down to the good old U.S. of A today, actually. I'm heading down to Washington.
Okay, so still up north, though.
Yeah, we're still up north, but it ain't snowing up here yet. It's nice.
Okay.
It's...
Not yet. Man, well, what are we going to talk to you about today? Because I spent a lot of time at Galway Downs this past weekend with several different Omega Alpha products. So I'm interested to hear what you're going to talk about and see. Oh, digestive support. Yes, I did use that this weekend too. Go ahead.
Yeah, today I thought I'd talk about the importance of a good digestive tract, especially in horses. Because one of the things that people don't realize about horses, they think they have a great digestive tract, or sometimes they don't even pay attention to it. They think ulcers and digestive tract and ulcers, that's it. That's the extent of digestive tract health. That's the only thing they think about, ulcers and digestive tract. Now, while ulcers are very important, yes, it makes the digestive tract very uncomfortable if your horse has ulcers. But for horses to thrive, they need to have a very good digestive tract, because if you realize it, these horses have their head down. In the wild, they're probably eating 20 out of 24 hours, meaning just head down, nibbling at the grass or whatever food they can get. Their ability to digest is very dependent on things like probiotics. The ability to absorb is very dependent on the integrity of the digestive tract. So if you add ulcers on top of all of that, you know, you can see why a horse could literally eat and not be able to absorb, not be able to digest, and so literally eat and starve. All right. Now, when people think of digestive tract, they think of, well, we'll give him, if he has ulcers, we'll give him some omeprazole, we'll call it a day, and he seems to perk right up. But one of the things that we do know about long-term use of things like omeprazole, which what omeprazole does is that it inhibits acid production. And when it inhibits acid production in the stomach, it allows the ulcers to heal. But here's the downside to that. Chronic use and extended use of omeprazole, what will happen is that inhibition of acid allows a lot of things like bad bacteria to get down into the lower intestinal tract and mycoplasmas and fungus to get in. Now, these things can inhibit or are not necessarily great for the digestive tract for many reasons. One is that they produce toxins, which if the horse absorbs too much of it, it makes them sick. So you can see that easily, but if you have horses or even yourself, if you've been taking a lot of antibiotics, what you'll find is that you tend to get sick a lot easier, right? So in cases like that, it's a good thing to use a lot of probiotics to help fight off these mycoplasmas and so on, right? Another mm-hmm. thing with, you know, if you have, for the horses especially, I would say, they're very dependent on the bacteria in the hindgut and also in the small intestinal tract, et cetera, down of things like cellulose break and help in the digestion of some of these food, some of their food so that they can get the things like the proteins and so on out of it, right? So again, it's very important to have a very good digestive tract. So this is why we all tell people, if you're going to use ulcer products, which is good, you have to use them because it's six of one, half of the dozen of the other, because if the horse is suffering from pain because of ulcers, right, he's not going to be eating anyway. So you got to soothe that digestive tract. If you can help with that, add the probiotics as a secondary product to use to help with the ulcers. Last but not least, I always strongly suggest that people give their horses when they're not feeding them, because most of us feed our horses twice a day, three times a day, three squares, like the way we eat. Right?
Right.
Well, horses need to be chewing all the time just because their gut is constantly producing acid. So they need what's called gut fill. So I always suggest that people use a low grade hay, right? Something like a Timothy hay, which is a lot of fiber. And basically what that will do is that it will fill it'll give them something in their gut which will help soak up that acid, to help buffer that acid. And if you help something that's a buffer the acid, that also helps with things like ulcers.
Well, I find it fascinating that you're talking about this today, Dr. Ching, because just last week, or 2 weeks ago, Jet, my thoroughbred, colicked, and through treating the impaction, we also decided to go ahead and treat for ulcers and do the 28-day Gastroguard treatment. Now, on the same vein, I have another thoroughbred that I just started on Biotic 8. And I started thinking, I'm like, okay, he's on Biotic 8 because he's not very thrifty. He's an off-the-track guy. He just hasn't really bulked up in the several months that I've had him off the track, almost a year, I guess. And so I put him on Biotic 8, and I started thinking, I wonder if I should put Jet on Biotic 8, too, during this treatment for ulcers. And so you're saying that that would be definitely a good idea?
That's right. And also what you'll find with if you have good bacteria and so on down there, or if you have a healthy gut, you will have less incidence of colic, right? Colic is, nobody really knows why you would get colic, okay? There's several reasons why, but nobody has a definitive answer. Nobody will say to you, yeah, you're feeding your horse, this is going to produce colic, okay? But a lot of it can be traced back to also the type of bacteria in the gut, because if you don't have the good, what's called a good bacteria in the gut, the waste products produced by some of the bad bacteria, the fungi, and so, can also trigger ulcers. I mean, sorry, colic, right?
So do horses need to stay on Biotic 8? All the time, like sensitive horses, or do they just do it every once in a while?
Sensitive horses should stay on it. But once you have, think of bacteria, which is in Biotic 8, as lawn seed. Once the lawn seed is caught, on your lawn. You grow a nice, healthy lawn. But every so often, you got to give some more lawn seed, because if you don't, what's going to happen is the grasses die off, and as soon as the grass die off, if you had bad bacteria floating around, it's like weeds. As soon as you have a bare spot in your lawn, that's where the weeds go first, right? And for whatever reason, they're able to outcompete the grass. So that's
gotcha.
Why it's a good idea to every so often, if your horse is normally healthy and you see no problems, still, every so often, maybe once a week, give him a shot of Biotic 8.
Gotcha. Okay, so you don't have to go through a whole bottle. You can actually just give it to him once a week or so. That's awesome.
If he's healthy. If he's sensitive and
right.
he's also, like, for example, if you have a racehorse, because I listened to you talking a little bit about racehorses, because of the stress that they're under, right, you know, they should be on it all the time. If you have show horses, if you have a backyard horse that's just walking around, tooling around and giving the occasional ride to kids type of thing, you know, once a week is probably good enough for them. As somebody once pointed out to me, just because they're backyard horses have problems too.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Come to my backyard, honey. Take a look around. Well, I just want to thank you. I'm going to let you go here in a second, but I want to thank you because something happened at the horse trial this weekend. I had Jet on Antiflam, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of helps her joints and helps them feel a little bit better. Why don't you give everybody the Reader's Digest on what Antiflam does?
Well, Antiflam is a very good anti-inflammatory, but it works really well on things like on feet and joints. So if you have a horse with sore feet, it works really, really well on those type of things. So it helps take away the pain. And the best part about it, it does not irritate the stomach. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so Jet has some hock pain. You know, we've been treating that this horse is, you just have to have a vet look at every end of him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But so I put him on the Antiflam for my horse trial this weekend, thinking, you know, buffer the stomach, give him something. He doesn't need to be on a whole bunch of bute. And guess what happened right after my show jumping? I got randomly selected for a drug test. Bing, 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 bing. And, of course, does Antiflam show up on a drug test?
No, definitely
no.
not. Nothing we have gives you a positive drug test.
Exactly.
Because there's
so,
no pharmaceuticals in any of these things. They're all natural herbal products. Even the compounds that we expect to find in it are not on any banned substance list.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That's why
so,
you'll never get a positive. But before we leave digestive health, one of the things that I was going to do a plug for is a product that we have called Regenerec. You know, a lot of people have gone to competition and they say, or pre-competition or post-competition, they say, my horse just won't eat for 2 days afterwards, okay? And they'll just look at the food and turn up their nose at the food, you know? And I know for performance horses, race horses, jumpers, you know, dressage horses, if a horse doesn't eat, they start to lose weight real quick. And if you're a performance horse, that's the last thing you want to happen to your horse. What we have, this product called Regenerec, it's amazing. If you put your horses on this within 24 hours, right, after the first or second dose, your horse's nose will be in that feed bucket, just eating away as if there's no tomorrow.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's a good way to maintain weight if, you know, for transporting your horses, you know, from your barn to the show ground sometimes, especially if it's a long way away, you know they won't eat when they get to the new location.
Right. So, of course, you can find all of these products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And you can always, if you have any questions, you can contact them. They are very happy to help you. If you have questions about any of the products, you can actually just email Omega Alpha and just say, hey, my horse does this. What do you recommend? And like me, if you are at a competition and you want your horse to have a little help because they deserve it, because they're working hard, and you don't want to get drug tested and have problems, go to Omega Alpha Equine, because I wasn't even worried. I was like, oh, follow me. I'll get him to pee in a cup for you. So it worked out great. Well, of course, Dr. Chang, thank you so very much for being a part of the show, and thanks for what you do for the horse world.
Thank you for having me on today.
We'll talk to you next month.
All right, let's take a break here for – can you hear me? Yes. Am I back? All right, good. Let's take a break here for our song of the day. And I thought, what better song could we play today than I Love to Run by Templeton Thompson that was dedicated to another little racehorse from the past number of years. And I just noticed, I also wanted to mention that Jennifer just posted on our Facebook page where she went back and found the first interview we did with Patty Reeves way, way back. So if you want to go take a listen, she posted a link to that first interview we did back in March of 2011. So if you, that's cool. Very good, Jennifer, for doing that research and finding that. Now, I Love to Run.
Whole life led me to this moment. I laid all out on the line. Time to shine, time to rock and roll. I'm feeling a million butterflies. Oh, but I've never been so ready. Watch me when I hit my stride. Speed of light. Yeah, I'm strong and have my number. Ain't no need to be afraid. I'll escape from the cloud I'm under. Dying in for the fame or the pain or the so-called glory. I'm just living how I'm made. That's what they'll say when they tell my story. We'll be right back.
Well, that was I Love to Run by Templeton Thompson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair, although you wouldn't know it. We haven't heard from her much today, but she's over there working away. And before we go on with finding out about Jamie's show, I just thought we'd finish up our coverage here of the weekend and talk about the other races we picked and how we did. Review them here quick.
Want to do that?
It's not – well, this one's good for me. The Dirt Mile, I had picked Golden Ticket, and that was after Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And apparently it was my Golden Ticket because at least Golden Ticket came in second. Your pick, Pants on Fire, which I really don't want to know why you picked that name, came in seventh. So I got you on that one. The next one, the Marathon, by the way, that is a freaking long race. And they come out of left field up there in the top of the hill on the way back. It's really odd, isn't it? The Marathon, you picked Blue Skies and Rainbows because I think it reminded you of My Little Pony. And yeah. I picked Suns Out, Guns Out, and apparently Rainbows beat Guns because you were second and I was fourth.
Of course Rainbows beat Guns, Glenn. Gosh, I should know better than that.
So apparently I can't get the guns out and shoot My Little Ponies because it's doesn't really fly in the racing world. Then we went all the way down to the sprint race where you picked Justin Phillip, not sure why, and I picked the Lumber Guy. And let's just say Justin Phillip apparently can run faster than a big fat lumbering guy because
Justin is the name of my twin brother, so I picked Justin Phillip. And, yeah, he finished in fifth. I love that you're not even given the winners of these. Secret Circle won the race.
Oh, yeah, there's winners, too.
Justin Phillip came in fifth, and the Lumber Guy second to last in number 11. And, of course, you chose, obviously, which came in fifth in the mile. I took Wise Dan, who won. Booyah! And we both took Mucho Macho Man to be the winner. I think I picked Painter as my second. He finished seventh. And you took Game On Dude or Flat Out?
I think I may have taken Flat Out, which means I still beat you
lost
by a little.
To me.
Yeah.
No. You lost.
Oh,
Painter.
Oops.
The one who beat yours horse. Let's just go ahead and say that. Yeah, so definitely it was a victorious day. Again, don't bet these because they didn't win. They just beat Glenn's picks.
It was the best of the worst.
Exactly. Blue Skies and Rainbows did not win the race. London Bridge did. Glenn failed to mention that. Don't ever bet what we pick, please. Save your money.
And then there were some like Trineberg and, you know, some of the names that we've been following all along here that just were no-shows. I mean, just didn't do well at all. So.
Well, it's such a champion among champions at this thing. And you know, when you win a bunch of races in your area, that's different than winning a world championship. So that goes to show you. Chad was so confused. He's like, wait. So you said Mucho Macho Man won, but Wise Dan won too? How did they both win? Like, different races. He goes, well, I thought Mucho Macho Man was, like, the fastest, but Wise Dan was, like, faster too. I'm like, different races, honey. Different races.
Whole different ballgame. Well, let's go into talking about your weekend. But before we do that, this segment is sponsored by one of our terrific sponsors, and that's High Visibility North America. They are distributors of UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrian horses and canines. We're coming into hunting season here in the Northeast and all over the East Coast, and I'm sure up in the Northwest. So you're going to want to take a look at a piece of high visibility clothing, already the preferred choice in the UK of thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. The range is now exclusively available in the U.S. and Canada from High Visibility North America. The range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe because it is the high visibility colors that you want, and they include pink and green and orange, the ones that you're used to, but they also have pink. Whether you're in the woods during hunting season, while riding on the road, or out on the trail, it's the fashionable alternative to really make you stand out and to be seen. Their jackets really fit, their vests really fit, so it's not like you're buying something that you would find on a construction site. It has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests, and it has things for your dog and for your horse, quarter sheets, and everything that you're going to need to keep yourself safe this hunting season and all throughout the winter, especially if you ride on the roads. You can find all of their products at highvisibilitysportswear.com, brand new website just out since we talked last week. Highvisibilitysportswear.com is where you can buy all of these terrific gift ideas for the holidays for anybody that rides. You're going to find all the gift ideas that you're going to want over there at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Well, Jamie, now you went to Galway Downs. You rode in training level. So how'd it go? I hadn't heard from you by Saturday night. I hadn't texted you, and then I got online to see how you did because I thought, well, I'm going to be hearing something.
Yeah, well, you know, I go out and we traveled all the way out there. I took two of my students with me, bless their hearts. I couldn't have done it without them. And I definitely will not do another horse trial without my husband because having a baby at a horse trial is incredibly difficult. So thank God these students actually
came. And for new listeners, she didn't mean actually having the baby at the horse trial. Bringing the baby to the horse trial.
Yes, he turned 5 months old, on Halloween. Thank you very much.
Although we have to confess that having a baby at a horse trial would be difficult as well. But
Yes, it would. you know, having him, my students actually came to groom, but they ended up babysitting way more than grooming, poor things. But we got there, it was a long drive of 6 hours and pull in, and the place is packed because everybody else got there like on Tuesday. They were having all the way up to a 3-star. I really wish I could say I watched a whole lot more than I did, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And little man was, I was stuck in the trailer with him. So I
well,
didn't
speaking
get
of which, before you go any further, I'm a guy. I'm somewhat curious about your event and everything and the horse and all, but I'm really more curious. You got a new trailer for this trip. Did you have it?
I did. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. It was the first, we got it like 2 days before I left, so finally came in. So I was furiously packing it and trying to get it ready, and it's just awesome. I'll give you guys some pictures of it. Maybe I'll post those later today. But it was fantastic. The whole setup was great. Thank God it has air conditioning and heat because it was so hot during the day and it was freezing cold at night. So I used every button in the whole thing. But back to getting to where the horses were. Yeah, Glenn. Glenn, there were a bunch of hot chicks there, too. Hot chicks and trailers.
Go. I'm sorry,
you would have loved it. You would have loved it. So, yeah, I went out and did my dressage test on Friday morning. It was 8 a.m. Get down there, and my horse was incredibly calm. And those who listen a lot know that usually in the warm-up, I'm that girl. My horse tries to buck me off. He tries to buck me off in dressage. And we had probably the best dressage test at training that we've ever had. Still a ways to go. We were sitting in, I believe, 7th place after dressage, which for Southern California and 18, 19, 20 people in your division is pretty darn good. And I was within a rail of first place. So about 2 hours later, I have to go down for show jumping. And, again, my horse is so calm. He just meanders
down. They did this
down
out of order, right? This is the new
correct
out of order way to do it. Okay.
Yeah, they tried to squeeze everything in, and there's like 500 riders.
Whoa.
So they kind of squeezed everybody in when they could. So I actually did dressage and show jumping Friday morning and didn't do cross country till Sunday morning. So we had the whole day to kind of hang out and watch and see what was going on. So it was really good. And again, he was super calm for show jumping, warmed up perfect, you know, was a little bit short to the jumps. And he was really kind of behind my leg. And what that means is, like, Glenn, you squeeze them and they just don't go. And then you kick them and they just really don't go. So he was a little bit behind my leg in the warm up, but he went into the show jumping and just did his best, jumped his heart out, was hauling butt around there, jumped everything. We had just breathed on the second to last jump rung and knocked down the top rail. So we ended up having one rail. Had I not had that rail, I would have been sitting in first place.
Really?
Going into show jumping. And there's, I got to tell you the story, this poor girl, the girl that was in first place after dressage, she goes into show jumping, and everybody's watching her because she's, you know, in first. Everybody's watching her. She goes in and just puts in an absolutely foot-perfect show jumping round. Absolutely awesome. First of all, combinations, just the horse was on point, getting his flying changes, making the turns, doing everything he was supposed to do. And she forgot to jump the last jump.
Oh, that sounds like a Jennifer.
Oh, hey. Really?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah.
She forgot the last jump and was eliminated. I could not even, I can't even imagine how awful that would have been. So that was kind of her deal. So, you know, then we had all day Saturday, got him out, walked him around a bunch. We kind of just gave him the day off after traveling and all that. You know, he was in the clinic not 2 weeks ago for colic. And if he hadn't felt good, I wouldn't have ridden him. But I take him out for show cross country Sunday morning. And he usually, when I put his boots on, he, like, knows what's going to happen. And he was just really quiet on Sunday morning. I even said to the girls, I'm like, look how calmly he's walking down here. Maybe he's finally getting broke, you know. He's not spinning, and he stood still when I mounted him. He didn't try to fight me when I put the girth on. I'm like, who are you? This is awesome. So I get down to show jumping, or to cross-country warm-up. Sorry, I got a baby here. Hold on, you go down here.
While she's putting the baby down.
Yes, I'm back. He just was really quiet, and again, really behind my leg for cross country and the warm up, and we chipped into a bunch of fences. And usually, he's just like hauling butt, and he flings himself over the jumps, and just didn't feel great. But I said he'll wake up when he gets out on course; it's gonna be awesome. So we head down to the start box, and again, he's walking like really calmly. I'm like, man, it's my horses. This is awesome. And so I get in the start box. They count me down, and I put my leg on, and he shoots out of that, the start box. And I'm like, great. And we're on course, and we come to fence number one, and he chips in, and he just adds a little stride in front of it, which is not normal. Usually, again, he leaves way long and flings himself over because he jumps very exuberantly. We make the left turn. He gets a good gallop going, and we make the left turn, and we get to fence number two, and he chips in again and just adds a little stride in front of it. I'm like, what is going on? Fence number three, we kind of a long gallop, and he's galloping, but I'm kind of having to, you know, I'm like, we're going, but he's not running away with me, so I'm like, this is great. We get to fence number three, and he very easily could have jumped it in stride, and he added another stride in front of it, and that is just not normal. We get to fence four, which is a jump over the log, two strides, jump down a bank, and then about four or five strides of bending line to go up this little hill and jump over this big log jump. And it was definitely, and Barb, my coach, said, this is the most technical question that you have ever seen. So, you know, really focus on your eye, ride straight. So we get to the first one, and he chips in again on that first one, and he kind of goes a couple strides forward and slides off the bank, doesn't jump off the bank, just kind of slides off of it. And I start kicking to get him to the one up on top of the hill. And by the time we get to the top of the hill, his energy, he has petered out. Like, totally, like, comes to a stop in front of it. Because it wasn't like he slammed on the brakes. He just, like, ran out of
energy. Just wound down, huh?
Yeah, just wound down. So I thought, well, I'm like, you're getting over this bench, you little brat, you know. And I circle him back around, and I gallop up to it, and he jumps it. It wasn't pretty, but we got over it. And then the next one is the biggest jump on course. It's a brand new, huge picnic table. We actually all took pictures sitting at it. There were six of us walking the course, and we all, you know, sat at it. It was huge. And so I'm like, to get over this jump, we are going to have to haul some butt to gallop to this jump. And I start galloping, and I'm going as fast as I've gone on him because he needs to wake up and let's go. And at the last second in front of that jump, he slammed on the brakes like he's never done that before, and just hit the brakes. And I just that's not my horse, that's not the horse that I've been riding for 3.5 years.
Did you stay on? You didn't end up on the picnic table, did you?
No, I did not end up on the picnic table. I did stay on, thank God, to that sticky stuff he put on your boots. He slammed on the brakes, and, you know, I just decided to retire. I'm not going to beat my horse around the course, and it wasn't him, and it wasn't his day.
Think he was still feeling it from the colic and all that stuff?
You know, he's fit enough to do that course, obviously, but he's not fit like he would be. And so I've actually already scheduled an appointment to have the vet come and do some blood work, because the whole weekend he wasn't himself. He was just kind of too laid back. And looking back on it, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you're like, oh, my God, he's being so good. This is awesome.
In the back of your mind, I know you, in the back of your mind, you were going, okay, this is too good to be true. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, well, why is my horse behaving like everybody else's? Yeah. This is weird.
Why am I not that girl today?
Yeah, I know. And again, he's better every time, but he just, you know, looking back, I even said in dressage, I'm like, man, he was so good. Like, I even took off the whip and the spurs in warm-up because I was like, you know, he's going so nicely and he's being great, and I didn't want to put my leg on and have him buck. And then so after dressage, I'm like, he was so slow. He, you know, usually I get in dressage and it's like trying to put reins on the front end of a freight train and slow it down, you know. So I'm like, I was pushing him through dressage, and that's what you're normally supposed to do, but that's not what normally happens with my horse. And then for show jumping again, he was fantastic. Then that's his favorite part. That's definitely his favorite thing. And then the cross country, to have him chip in like that and keep adding strides and not be a little bit of a runaway and not fling himself over jumps, I just decided to retire. You know, there's just something wrong with him. So, you know, I'm going to have some blood work done and just make sure that everything is okay. And, you know, if blood work comes back normal, you know, I just didn't have my horse that day. And if something comes back wrong, then I'll be really glad that I pulled up. I'm glad I pulled up no matter what. But it does say I was eliminated. I'm going to call them because it was not eliminated. I retired. And actually the jump judge was like, you can keep going. You can keep going. You don't have enough stops. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to listen to my horse today. And he's telling me that we're done. So that's kind of what I did.
That was very mature of you to do, because obviously, you know your horse better than anybody. And he was telling you he was done.
So devastating, though, when that happens. And then you have that walk of shame all the way back, you know. But head held high, because I feel like I did the right thing. And whether or not the blood work comes back one way or the other, I really, that day just wasn't his day.
No. I mean, we talked about Royal Delta earlier, right? I mean, same thing. He was telling you that it wasn't his day.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that my horse is almost exactly like Royal Delta, you know.
I'm sure. And it's going to make although he can't stand at stud, so that's not going to be an option to make money at follow-up here.
Nobody would want to breed more of him. But
well,
anyway,
sorry to hear that. I'm glad you sounded like, you know, you still had a good weekend, and you got two good rides out of him.
The other part of it was the immense lack of sleep that I got, and if you can hear my baby fussing, because he officially, drum roll please, I know you don't care, he got his first teeth. He has two teeth at the bottom.
All I know about babies is that means your life is going to get harder for the next and noisier.
You know what? I actually, these girls, I said, you know, I'm like, do you guys feel like you're on an episode of 16 and Pregnant? And they were like, yeah. And I said, and as we're driving home, I'm like, so was that like the greatest birth control you ever could have known? And they were like, everybody thinking about having kids should sleep in a trailer with a teething baby for a weekend. I'm like,
probably
nice.
A good idea, actually.
Yeah, if it would happen to me, I know I'd have reconsidered.
Well, we know two teenage girls who will not be pregnant anytime soon, so that's good.
I'm just doing my part, Glenn. I'm just doing my part in the world to prevent teenage pregnancy.
You did an interview. Do you want to play that or not?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to preempt it by saying I invited these guys to come to my trailer at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and they showed up in my trailer at 9 o'clock at night. So I was pretty tired. I love these two people. This is a story of a guy and a girl who met, and he has decided to be the ultimate horse show boyfriend. And you'll hear the things that he does. And, again, if it was my boyfriend, I would have a hard time letting him do the things that she does with my horse. But he is just – he was such a good boyfriend and such a potential horse husband that I wanted Glenn to hear it because I want you to know that they are out there. You can find them, girls. They this one doesn't have a brother. I ask him. You'll hear that. but he a super boyfriend. And instead of just bringing you the coverage and the kind of same interviews as we always do, I thought this would be a little bit change of pace and just let you hear a fun one. I'm sorry. I do sound like I've been drinking. I was just totally tired. So here it is.
Now, what's her name? What are their names? What's her name?
Her name is Stephanie, and his name is Justin.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Well, I'm here at Galway Downs Horse Trials, and I am sitting with, granted, my husband is not here this weekend, but I am sitting with probably, cover your ears, because I don't want you to get a big head, but the greatest horse boyfriend that I've ever seen at any horse show. Okay, uncover.
I've heard that.
Earmuffs.
I've heard all of that.
So, Stephanie, you brought your new boyfriend. How long have you guys been dating?
Almost 6 months.
6 months. How many horse trials has he been to?
This is his third.
Third? And
four.
How many?
No, so okay, I thought three.
How many horse trials have you competed in since you've been dating?
Three.
Okay, so pretty much your attendance is 100% at this point.
It is 100%, yeah.
And I've got to just give you props because I walked outside the other day and you are not just shining her boots. You are like military boot polishing her boots.
Well, yes. Yeah.
You clean her stall. You take her horse for a walk. You took my horse for a walk. I mean, I wanted to give you props because my co-host Glenn considers himself America's horse husband. And Glenn, you couldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole, dude.
Well, I'm sure Glenn has other responsibilities, but yeah, the thing is, I don't clean the horse stall very well, but I still clean it.
Right.
So she doesn't have to. So that's something, I suppose. Well, she loves to clean it, but just not as much. And then the shining thing. When I just saw the boots the first time, I was like, hey, I can shine those for you. And it was just sort of like...
Do you have a military background?
I do have a military
okay,
background.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I saw the boots and was sort of sad because they're
those boots have been working.
Yeah. They're working
boots.
What
do they boots. Do in the military, but yeah. we work some boots here.
Yeah.
They're working boots and they're very nice, but it was very clear that they had been neglected. So I spent several hours with the boots and made them at least black. And then we went from there. Now they're sort of shiny, so that's good.
It was impressive, Steph. I could see my reflection in your boots. But he does other things as well. Give me some examples of some of the incredibly helpful things that he does for you.
It starts with my morning coffee every day. Makes my coffee in the morning. You go down to the bar and walk the horses. You can blanket, unblanket. He's learned how to tack up the horse, like my saddle's on.
You let him tack up your horse?
Yes, amazing. The saddle is on, facing the right direction. Girth is tight.
She still checks it to make sure that it's right. But yeah, she'll let me do it.
I have a much less of a hands-on role with this whole thing now. So I mean, today it was really awful. It was like he was cleaning my stall and like tacking up the horse at the same time. I was like, I have to do something. I cannot just sit here. And that's literally become my job. I only ride the horse at this point. I do nothing else.
I think what everybody that's listening to this right now is thinking is, do you have a brother?
And that's come up at a few shows already.
That came up at the first show, and yes, I do not have any brothers, nor do I have any, like, reasonable age male relatives, so sorry.
He's even learned how to wrap at this point, too. He can load and unload the horses from the trailer.
Okay,
hold on. He can put wraps on.
I'm sorry, I have
properly.
To draw
and
the
I'm
line.
The wrap Nazi.
I have to draw the line of letting a man wrap my horse. Clearly, he does not have the years of experience that we have.
Right,
Did you have previous experience with horses?
I have previous Western horse experience from Texas, which means I am aware that horses are animals.
He knows where the front end of the horse is as compared to the back end.
You can ride them, and if you yank on them in different directions,
they'll go that way. Did you ever date, like, a rodeo queen in Texas?
Nope, nothing like that. No, it's just to clarify on her whole wrapping thing, she will let me wrap the horse if she's standing immediately next to the horse while she's standing right next to her horse while I'm wrapping and she can give me directions, she will let me wrap the horse.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah.
I don't even think I would
let him drive
Chad
the truck and trailer, too.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
My truck, my trailer, my horse, and my light all in his hands.
Yeah.
Right there. That's,
that was
that's
a bad idea.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea, but she still let me do it. So.
Yeah. And this is 6 months in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What? Where do you see yourself in 6 months?
Is he going to ride the horse for you? Yeah, he's been on 3-hour trail rides together. He's ready to start doing jump lessons when Galway's done, and...
Yeah, the only reason I haven't jumped yet is because she's been leading up to this event, and she's like, I don't want you to totally mess up my horse. Like, you're gonna totally mess up his confidence when he throws you off and he jumps on top of you. No, she wanted to be prepared for this, but after this, she says she'll let me jump.
Oh
with,
my gosh!
I'll let him jump. Do you hear that terminology? Yeah. It's not I'm gonna make him jump. I'm gonna let him.
She
jump.
She will let me. Yeah, it'll be great.
Chad kind of started to want to do lessons like that, but do you know where this is going? What are your intentions with my friend, Stephanie?
My intentions are to keep coming to these events and having fun with her because she's excellent.
Yeah, she's awesome. That's not my point.
Yeah. No, I don't have...
Down the road, see, and you can ask my husband about this, and you can ask my co-host about this, is if you continue this way, you will own a horse farm at some point.
Yes. Clearly,
and you will have your own horse.
Yes, I've already been like sort of cross motivated by like Stephanie / my parents to like get my own horse from Stephanie and get my own horse farm from my parents to be closer to them, and so I'll probably just end up with a giant horse farm.
So how much longer till you propose and pop the question to my dear friend here?
I think she's probably safe. For at least.
Do you know that the utter look of panic that she just gave me for
horrified.
Asking you that question?
I actually am really excited about it. It makes me very happy because she's very confident. She's very bold, but to make her like nervous and embarrassed is almost impossible. And you've done it. So,
I know. This
so
is
thank
awesome.
You for that.
Yes.
That's excellent.
I'm excited to, I'm sure it'll happen at a horse trail. I'm excited to be a part of it.
I'm excited for the fight that's about to happen when this interview ends. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm not looking at her right now. I'm talking to you.
And I'll be videotaping it, and I'll let you have that for, you know, your show.
My listeners can watch
so they can
get my butt kicked by Stephanie. Well, no, it's very impressive. You are 6 months in, you're grooming and wrapping and you're everything that a horse girl would want. So guys, listen up. Take it from this guy. What is your motivation to behave in this awesome manner?
It's very sappy, and I'll tell you both answers. The very sappy answer is Stephanie's great. I just want to spend time with her, and Chris, her horse, is great, and I want to spend time with him. He's a great horse. The other side thing is, it's literally just a bunch of really athletic women wearing really tight pants in, like, tall, knee-high boots, like, riding around all day on horses, and there's a bunch of, like, diesel trucks and stuff.
What is not to love?
Exactly. If you want to tell me, like, oh, I don't want to see a bunch of women in tight pants and diesel trucks at the same time, like, okay, good, go do something else with your life. But otherwise, you should come do this sort of thing. But also, it's a very interesting thing. It's a phenomenal sport that involves, you know, humans and animals and...
Women in tight pants and diesel trucks. I mean...
But, you know, again, humans and animals in this great symphony of just... achievement and speed.
I love him. Stephanie, keep him around. All right. That is it. I have nothing else to say because you almost made me cry a little bit talking about that, and I'm excited. All right, well, we're here at Galway Downs. We're sitting in my trailer. I cannot tell you how much anybody has had to drink, but I have been behaving myself perfectly.
Okay, I have to say something. This guy has to go. before he ruins it for the rest of us. He just has to go. We have to get rid of him. I have to find out who he is and send the squad over because obviously this is just honeymoon phase. And after about another 6 months, you talk to him and he won't be doing any of that crap because he won't care anymore. And he'll just be there sitting in his chair looking at the girls in tight breeches and looking at the butts walk by with his beer in his hand. And she'll be wrapping her own horse. You know that's going to happen, right?
Glenn, he used the word symphony of horsemanship, basically, to describe eventing.
You know what that says to me? He's gay. That tells me. Anybody that uses those words has to be gay because I just can't be true.
I don't want to give too many details, but this guy carries a gun 20, probably, you know, half the week when he's at work. So he's not gay. He'll shoot you for saying too. Good thing you live in Florida. No, it was just when I'm watching him, bringing her tack down while he's leading her horse, and he's got a muck fork in one hand, and it was just really impressive, and I had to know more.
Okay.
Sorry, I was
so
tired.
I'm okay with the muck fork thing, but you and Jennifer, neither one of you would let us tack your horse up before a horse show. Ever.
Oh, hell no. I told her, I'm like, there's no way in hell I would ever let anybody wrap my horse or tack my horse. You know what I had a problem with this weekend is Chad helped me pack, and I didn't know where anything was, and I kept panicking, thinking I forgot something, and I would have to run to the trailer and find it where he put it. So I have a hard time with even him helping me carry stuff to the trailer, much less wrap my horse, drive my truck and trailer, tack my horse up, do his boots. I can't, no way, not a chance.
Yeah.
Glenn's allowed to carry it and set it outside the trailer. He dares
to put
it in.
Oh, yeah, I'm not allowed to put it in the trailer. No, no. Because it's always going to be in the wrong place, I guarantee you. And then I get blamed when she can't find it. So it's just not worth the hassle. It's just Jennifer actually let me put liniment on my pony's fat ankles this weekend. So I thought I made progress. I got to put the liniment on.
The next day,
she did it. Yeah, she did it, because apparently I didn't do it well enough. So, so it happens after 25 years there, Miss Stephanie.
Yep. Enjoy.
How did she do over the weekend, by the way, with her boyfriend?
She did great. I don't know what place she finished in, but she's actually an intermediate rider and was running training this weekend. I guess she's had some stops and stuff and wanted to get a confidence booster on course for her horse. And, of course, an intermediate rider, you know, in training, she was actually competing against, like, Olympians, you know. So I don't know how she ended up, but she ended up going double clean, finished on her dressage. So it was a great weekend for her and for Chris.
Well, very good. Well, that's it for today. We've run out of time. We had so much more to talk about, too, but we just plain ran out of time. We'll be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow, we have Tack Talk with Equus Now. Rose will be here with our once-a-month look at tack and products. So she'll be here from Equus Now out of Ohio. And then Wednesday, Jamie will be back, and we'll be back with the wheel and doing all kinds of the usual fun stuff on Wednesdays. Don't forget, you can download the app. Just visit the App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. And I did just see that all the shows are now on there. All the new shows are on the app as well. Just came in over the weekend. So take a look on the App Store for Horse Radio Network, and you can find all of our shows there. We have 11 of them now. You can also find them all at horseradionetwork.com. I'm glad you made it safely home from the weekend, Jamie, and congratulations to all of our friends in Mucho Macho Man's camp.
Woo-hoo.
Terrific.
Yahoo! You know, you can play the music, but I'm just going to say I'm so excited that one day I'm going to own a Wise Dan Briar and now a Mucho Macho Man Briar. How do they not do a Mucho Macho Man Briar?
That's true. We're going to get the first one signed.
I have to have it. You have to have it.
Talk to them about that.